trials only come to make me strong.
Well, a God morning to you. You just heard what I believe to be a wonderful song. I hope that in the days and weeks and years to come, you will take advantage of listening to the words. If you didn't get them all, Google the song. It's called Through It All. And in today's song services, many of the modern songs I can't hold with. This isn't an old hymn of the church, yet a theme from all the great songs and or psalms of God. In the New Testament, it says that we are to console, to encourage each other in psalms and in songs. And I thought this song appropriate for the listeners at the God School to hear. If you've never heard it before, listen to it. Let it sink in. For the trust that this song is speaking of, this is the trust that God has enabled you to have. I want you to be encouraged. Now, we have been in a series entitled The Good Speaking God. Eulogetos Theos is the Greek, and as we have said for a few weeks now, this is a name of God. You know, the names of God are important. Several weeks back, we taught on out of the book of Philippians. In the third chapter, where Paul is saying, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them as, King James says, dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. We're going to explore in more detail this desire expressed by the Apostle Paul to know him this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91. My pastor, Dr. Scott, taught, I don't know, 10 hours, maybe more, on this psalm. Some of what I received from that teaching, am I going to, as God enables me, to communicate to you that you might receive that which I have received from this wonderful staple of, or from, God's Word. You know, though they might be important, the genealogies listed in Chronicles just don't reach sometimes where we're living. This psalm is one of those psalms, I believe, that each and every member of the Church of Jesus Christ should expose themselves to, be exposed to, and to continue to expose themselves to this wonderful psalm out of God's Word. It opens and says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, a little context is going to be important in understanding this psalm. It's, as Dr. Scott explained it, it's kind of a play being acted out. And in the play, there are three speakers. There are those who, in the 11th verse, are called angels, or the actual word is messenger. We translate it angels because they are messengers, but those that bring the good news of the gospel, they're messengers. And they're as sent from God as angels. In fact, maybe even more important, than angels in the economy of God, because they are called out to deliver His gospel. But in the context of the psalm, in the context of this at play that's being acted out or presented, I have you know that verse 1 are these messengers, these watchers over us. They are the speaker in verse 1. Verse 2 is the psalmist himself. Verse 2 is you and I. Verses 3 through 8 are back to those angels, those messengers, those watchers from the balcony of heaven. Verse 9 is back to the psalmist. Verses 10 through 13 are back to those messengers, those watchers. Verse 14 through 16, another person enters into the scene, and that's God. And I have all confidence that verses 14 through 16 is a source for the name Eulogetos Theos, the good speaking God. These verses are a source, a foundation derived from the experience of the psalmist, of his people, whereby they do give God this name, the good speaking God. So let's, having set that apart, you know, I have written in my Bibles a one where these messengers are speaking. A two, where the psalmist is speaking, that would be in verse 2 and verse 9. All the other verses are the messengers speaking till we get to the 14th verse, to the close of the psalm. I have written a 3, and that is God speaking. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The first thing that I would say to you, that's great speech, but let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. That which is translated dwelleth, in the Hebrew it has a participle and therefore should properly be translated he that's dwelling right now. He that is dwelling in the secret place. The Hebrew words suggest protection. They suggest a hiding as in a skin. Expounded, the word means, secret place means where God covers and protects you. Oh, what a place to be found. It says, he that's dwelling where God covers and protects. And this covering and protection is of the Most High. Elyon is the Hebrew word. It's the word from which the Arabic gets the word Allah. It means the highest. It means to ascend. It means to go up. It means the highest. And of the highest. These messengers are saying to the one dwelling in that place where God covers and protects you, it says, the one dwelling shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dr. Scott, in exegeting this word secret place, he called it a help zone. He elaborated that in the Septuagint, the word being translated into Greek is biotheo. And in that exegete, it meant of this, or to this one dwelling, that the Most High was running to protect. As though we might run to an emergency room. It's a help zone. And it says of the one dwelling in that place that he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shaddai is the Hebrew being translated Almighty. We have a very familiar name of God. Here we have two names of God declared. The highest, Elyon, and Shaddai, or El Shaddai. And we've taught here before, the picture of the Hebrew is of the breasted one, a more comfortable place of provision, a babe cannot find. And we all, children of God, should lodge in such a place. I have one translation, I'm sure it's from Dr. Scott, speaking of this word abide in the King James. It says there is a state of being where you can stay in the high place of Elyon, in the mother image, El Shaddai, of God. Now, this shows you the nature of, some of the nature of the Hebrew, because the same word being translated abide, or the alternative in the King James, lodge, this same word is translated in other places to murmur, to complain. How crazy is that? Hopefully by the end of the message, we will be enabled to put this in context. Having heard this wonderful word from the messengers of God, the psalmist, who represents each and every one of God's children, his response to that declaration by the messengers, and I'm going to just cut through it. King James says, I will say of the Lord. No, it says, I will say to the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Now, I have been taught. And in the Hebrew, there's more, but there's three principal words when the translators take out of the Hebrew and translate it into the Greek, which is called the Septuagint. They take three words and they translate them all into the same Greek word, pisteo, or faith. The three Hebrew words are betach, which means to lean with your whole weight upon a staff with the expectation that the staff will support you or hold you. The second Hebrew word is chasa, which means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or to the shelter of the rock with the expectation that under those wings or under that rock, one will be protected. Both of those words in some form are contained in this second verse. I will say to the Lord, my refuge. Now, when you want to make a noun out of a verb in the Hebrew, one way to do it is to put a mem in front of the verb. The verb hasa, what's being translated my refuge, is em hasa, mahasa. This is one who is lodging, having run hasa, the result is emhasa. You are dwelling under the protection, under the covering of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. The picture is an impregnable structure. What confidence the psalmist expresses. My refuge. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Here's the second faith word found in this second verse. They're a verbal noun and a verb, which the word is batach. Folks, in this new covenant, this new testament, which is by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are faithing. We are batachin. And the result is the protection and covering, the place which is our refuge and our fortress. And that is in Christ Jesus. Let's read the next few verses. Now we're back to the messengers speaking. And they're speaking to the one who is dwelling and who has said to the Lord, his refuge and his fortress. Now these messengers are responding to that one. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against one who is like a fowler seeking out to catch the bird. And the good fowler definitely has more strength and craftiness to catch and snare the bird. I tell you, the God of this world, who's called Satan, he has more strength than me or you. But the promise of God is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is part and parcel of the gospel, of which I am not ashamed, for it, the gospel, in it is the power of God unto salvation. And God is able to deliver from the snare of the fowler, from our enemies, which are not flesh and blood, and from noisome pestilence. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Now we get the verb in the Hebrew, hasah. You see where the messengers are delivering the same message, just with a little different twist. He shall cover thee, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His wings, not your strength, not my strength. And these messengers go on to say, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Underline that word, his truth, and write in the margin of your Bible, his faithfulness. Speaking of God, his faithfulness shall be thy shield and thy buckler. This is, these Hebrew words describe a big shield and then a little shield. God covers and protects us through his faithfulness, through the buckler, the little problems, as well as the great ones. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Day and night, his faithfulness, our shield and our buckler. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Think on that. It says in the New Testament, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the messengers go on to say, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Oh, am I looking forward to that day. Who are the wicked? Man, I'm not judge. But I can see the result in this world of the influence of the wicked. If you want to personify this wicked, which is going to be, which is described as, we'll see his reward, you know, in the book of Revelations, it says, Michael, the archangel, cast Satan into hell. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. And we have the promise through these messengers of God that we're going to see that. Now, the 9th verse reads, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You know, I think there's only like 5 words in the Hebrew being translated to these many words in the 9th verse. Dr. Scott cut through it all. He said, look, this is what's being declared in the 9th verse, and the one declaring it is the psalmist. The one declaring it is the one that is saying to God, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He simply makes the declaration, surely, O thou, O Lord, are my refuge. I want to go back to this 2nd verse for a moment. I shared this with one of the congregation the other day. But I have a friend whom I've never met face to face. But through the Bible Museum and the pursuit of the history of the written word of God over the years, we have become friends. He has been in the ministry over 60 years. Several weeks ago, I called, and he had virtually only a whisper of a voice said that he had a problem with his larynx, and the doctors told him that he had to take a rest and go through some treatments for several weeks, that his voice might be restored. And I was talking to him the other day, and he was back in voice. And I said, I'm glad God has restored your voice so that you can say to him the things that he likes to hear. And my friend responded, and he said, oh, the Lord knows what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's true. But God likes to hear our voice, give voice to that which he's given us, that is his spirit, and he likes words. The 10th chapter of Romans says, you don't have to go up and bring him down. You don't have to descend and bring him up. The word is nigh thee. For with the heart man faitheth, with the mouth proclamation is made unto salvation. God likes to hear words. Imagine if you were in a relationship with your, let's bring it to the most intimate relationships men and women can have, a husband and wife, and imagine if all day long the wife is giving voice to her thoughts, to her positive thoughts about the husband, and the husband just stays silent, gives no response. Pretty soon, and he finds himself satisfied in thinking, well, she knows I love her. No, in this human relationship, wow, long time ago, I worked for an organization called the Dale Carnegie Courses. And, you know, one of the principles for winning friends and influencing people was to be hearty in your approbation. That is, using words to express and compliment other people. We are, it says in Scripture, made in the image and likeness of God. And just like we do, God likes to hear our voice. And we should say to the Lord, it can be as simple and at the same time as intricate as saying to God, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Ninth verse, simple translation. Surely you, O Lord, are my refuge. The psalmist is saying this. Now we get back to the first part where the messengers are speaking. It says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his, King James says, angels. Hebrew says, he shall give his messengers charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. This talks not only of great covering and protection, but also of strength and of power. This is what these messengers are telling us is available. Now, you know, some have taken this to an extreme where, you know, the snake charming persons and, you know, they said, well, you know, this is a promise of God. Let's go out and show off what God has done for us. Do you know this 11th verse? Satan knew and tempted Jesus with? When he took him up to the top of the temple, he said, cast yourself off. For surely he shall give his, or he said, for they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Those exact words Satan used against Jesus, no less. You think he won't come against you? This is a son of God. This was he who was with God from the beginning, who was facing God in the beginning, who was of the same essence as God. And Satan attempted and did tempt him. And Jesus' response was, you know, he could have thrown himself off and shown off the power God has given him, but his response was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, in all situations that we face, we're not to attempt to bring glory unto ourselves, but give all glory and honor to God our Father. And now we get to the 14th verse. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is a written, these three verses are written in an exclamatory declaration, wherein we could say, yay, hooray, God speaking, because he clings to me. Because he clings to me. I have said here often, faith is grabbing hold of a promise of God and acting on it as though it's more real because he said it than anything we might see, feel, or encounter. This word being translated love, it has to do with knitting, which is very intricate. It has to do with not easily torn apart, not easily torn away, because he clings to me. I will intensively deliver him. How do we cling? In hope. And by faith. The Hebrew word is cling. When the Septuagint translates this, the Greek word is elpison. The root being faith and hope. He has faith and hope upon me, therefore I will intensively deliver him. This word is as true today as it was when set down by the psalmist. Probably 3,000 years ago. It is all delivered in the present or current tense. I will set him on high. I will cover him and make him impregnable, is the sense of the Hebrew here. Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. If we know his name, and God throughout his word has either himself declared a name of his, or through experience of his people, been given a name and one of those names is the good speaking God, and we give him that name because of some of these promises which are set forward in this 14th through 16th verse. The good speaking God. Because he has set his love upon me, because he has set his whole hope and affection upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. The word is Yada. We've taught on it many times. It speaks of an intimate, personal, experienced relationship, more than in a book, more than book knowledge. And this is what God has called his children to. And each and every one of his children to whom he has promised his Spirit can testify of the experience through the name of God, or names of God. And it is my experience that the names of God are a provision for any circumstance that one of his children may find themselves in. If it's poverty, Jehovah Jireh. If it's an unsettled spirit, Jehovah Shalom. If it's sickness, Jehovah Rapha. If it's loneliness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Rapha, that healeth thee. Tyndale described it so wonderfully, thy surgeon. Jireh, he that provides. Shalom, thy peace. Not knowing where to turn, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner. We can look to him with hope, and a myriad of other names of God, and of the one to whom, of the one saying, my shelter, my fortress, my God. God says, because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. It doesn't say, now that you've known the name of God, now that you've put your trust in Him, now that you're leaning upon Him, now that you're running to Him for shelter, now that you are being sheltered, it doesn't say you won't have trouble. God damn those who tell you, come to God and everything will be wonderful in your life. And the church is getting more and more populated with these people. Who, like Satan, come in the appearance of angels of light and speak to people with itching ears, and they tell the people what they want to hear. God says, God doesn't say you'll never have any trouble, but He promises that He will be with us in trouble. And it says, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life, it translates length of days. And without elaborating, folks, this is our eternal existence with God, not realized here in these limited years we have here, but throughout eternity will God honor us with life. It says, and with that honoring of eternal life, I'll satisfy him. We taught several weeks ago, the subject was, where is your satisfaction? And that came out of, I believe it was the, was it the 17th Psalm? Wherein it says, the 15th verse, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, I shall be satisfied. That's the same word. The satisfaction is a promise of God. And the source of our satisfaction is the promise. And will be the fulfillment of the promise of God, and show him my salvation. The Hebrew word is Yeshua, from which we get the name Jesus. It's a contraction of two Hebrew words, Yehoshua, Ashua. That was Joshua's name before God told Moses to change his name. His name was Ashua. It meant helper. Don't call him, God says, Ashua any longer. Call him Jehoshua. A contraction of Jehovah, Ashua, our helper. The name Jesus means God, our helper. I shall give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahshua, Jesus, God our helper, every knee shall bow. He is. A good speaking God. And we have just been exposed to some of the words wherein these New Testament writers can give God that name as well. Glory, glory to his name. The 115th Psalm says, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory and honor because of thy truth and thy mercy's sake. Because of thy faithfulness and thy mercy. Grace, unmerited favor, and peace. God is not against you anymore. Unto all the hearers here at the God School, until we gather again.